The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Blue Kool-Aid drinkers!
We are back, baby. We are back. We're recording this. It is August. We are in August, which means training camp is kicked into the highest of gears. The Lions are in padded practices now. And we are getting a lot of feedback, a lot of reporting out of there from the ups and downs of training camp. We're going to be talking about it all on this podcast, plus the quarterback tier rankings, which are always really popular, done by Mike Sando at The Athletic, formerly ESPN. I want to talk about where Jared Goff is on that as well. I think that'll be an interesting talking point. But before we get to all that, I want to introduce the Blue Kool-Aid crew that is here. So I am Big Z. Let's get to the rest. We got Red Dog.
Yo.
And UJ.
Hey, everybody.
UJ, I don't know what happened to the rest of your body. Our listeners can't see you, but I only see a floating head on you right now.
I know. I am just a floating head today. Just my camo, really. It's not real. I mean, I'm actually just wearing a camo shirt. So it looks like I'm just a floating head.
Oh, okay.
But not. It's an illusion.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Yeah, so, yeah.
You know, our listeners can't see it, but I just wanted to... I thought I was breaking news by, you know.
It's imperative.
Anyways, let's dive into the football, shall we?
Okay.
And I want to talk about a big story, because we talked probably more about this guy than maybe a lot of other podcasts, because we love talking about the end of the Detroit Lions roster on this podcast. And a guy that really stepped up last year, looked like he was, you know, on his way to an even more productive year with another year in the system. And I'm talking about Shane Zylstra, the tight end, who, if you recall, last year had 3 touchdowns in 1 game against the Panthers, a red zone target for this Lions team, a fairly decent blocker, good third string or fourth string tight end, probably good depth. Anyways, regardless, he is out probably for the season. Maybe he could be a late season addition, but most likely out with a torn ACL. After a big old dummy tried to tackle him over the middle and dove right at his knee. Like, I had the guy's name and I lost it right now. Do you guys have...
It'll come back to you.
Why did I lose the name? Anyways, I'll get the guy's name in a second, but it's a nobody. Khalil Dorsey. Thank you. Khalil Dorsey, a cornerback.
Khalil Dorsey did it? Oh my gosh. Who's Khalil Dorsey?
I mean, this undrafted guy, but just kind of a camp stuffer, and he should be kicked off the team, in my opinion. It's unacceptable. You should not be diving at somebody's knee over the middle of the field. This is a completely avoidable injury, and he should be paying Zylstra his salary or something like that, because, I mean, this is affecting his career, and it's something I would be absolutely beyond myself if I was Zane Zylstra. I don't know what you guys think, but that's my opinion, because this is completely
avoidable. I agree. You know, they're not going to say much. They're going to write it off as a football play and all that stuff. But, man, there's got to be some harsh words.
Kind of surprised.
I mean, seriously, you don't want to lose guys in practice. That's just ridiculous before the season's even started. No, I agree with you, Big Z.
I'm kind of surprised they
that should not be tolerated.
Good. What, Red Dog?
I said I'm kind of surprised they didn't tolerate him.
They said it was addressed. We don't know how it was addressed, but he's still out there practicing, by all accounts. So I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, like, they just, what? Has anyone seen it? Is it like, do we know what it looks like actually? They say it avoidable, so I guess that means he deliberately dove at his knee, or like, was it just a tackle that got kind of directed a little lower than it should have or something in the heat of like a battle?
I'd imagine
like,
it's more the latter, but.
Like, if he actually dove at his knee, then he should be kicked off this team in a heartbeat. But the fact that Dan Campbell just took him aside and gave him a talking to, and the guy feels terrible about it, it sounds like much more just football stuff. That's why I'm like, I kind of trust Dan here to discern better than our second to third hand knowledge of the situation.
No, I trust our second
like,
and third hand
knowledge.
If he dove,
I think he'd be gone.
I think we should make decisions without being in the building. I think that's the best way to handle this stuff, Red Dog.
They should outsource
us? Exactly. I'm sure it's more of the latter, Red Dog. If it was deliberate, I would highly assume he'd be removed immediately. But still, I think it's completely unacceptable. Like, I think you still got to send a message to the rest of the team not to do that. Like if it was somebody like CJ Gardner-Johnson, then, you know, it's slightly different. But a guy like this, I think you could afford to send a message while removing him from the team, in my opinion.
I don't know.
Because Ben Johnson, I guess, got after I think it was Charles Harris, one of the defensive ends. Man, I have my notes and I'm losing it. But one of the D ends, maybe it was Broderick Martin, actually. One of these defensive linemen hit Nate Sudfeld, and Ben Johnson just went off on him completely. Because you don't touch the quarterback in training camp. You just don't do it. They did it, and he got a lashing in front of everybody. I don't think it was Broderick Martin, though.
I hope the O-line tonight goes into, like, his barracks with, like, socks full of bars of soap and just, you know, give him a good...
Oh, you know who it was? You know, Brian Branch.
Hold him down with a sheet and give him a nice little shellacking, and he'll learn.
It was Brian...
It's been addressed.
It was Brian Branch.
Oh, small coincidence that Khalil didn't show up today for practice. He was just so distraught over what he did to Zylstra.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. You got to do something. You got to make sure that message gets clear. And then you got to, I mean, it's a learning moment for the whole team, too. Because, I mean, assuming it wasn't deliberate, like, you know, this is the time to point out how to, you know, meter yourself, how to watch your aggression, check yourselves. We're not in the actual game and, you know, all that.
It's tough if you're a guy like this.
It's camp, baby. There's pads. You're flying around. Shit happens. And it sucks for Zylstra. Is it bad that, like, I feel like if I had lined up our four tight ends, like, that Zylstra would be the one? I'd have been like, oh, if there's anyone that got, like, unable to play for some reason. Because I'm not sure he was going to make the team to begin with. I don't know. Maybe he's ahead of James Mitchell, but.
I think it would have made the team. They would have gone with four tight ends.
And Kabinda? You think he'd be, or, like, I don't know. Maybe. He might.
I don't know if you heard me, Red Dog, but Brian Branch was the one that got lambasted by Ben Johnson for hitting Nate Sudfeld on it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
It's hard to keep these guys, man. They're like caged animals. You know, they're crazy. They're wild. They're building up all this, you know, craziness in them. And, you know, it's hard to, you know, hold back sometime, you know?
Right. And especially if you're a guy Khalil Dorsey, who, you know, is fighting for his life pretty much to make a roster and a living.
Yeah.
They're the ones more prone to probably take the risk in practice to be physical.
Get noticed, man.
Yeah. I mean, you only get so many opportunities. It's a very – there's not – especially compared to training camps past, the NFL is a lot more strict on the amount of contact you can have in these practices, and the opportunities to actually show what you can do is extremely, extremely limited. So you have to really make sure –
True. Yeah.
And like, you gotta like, and there's like, if you're really gonna make it as like a rookie undrafted, especially on a team that has any depth at all, like, you have to approach camp with like a reckless abandon. You can't be Mr. Zen Master yet. You gotta be out there putting your best effort every play with like extreme, you know, like, you got to be crazy about it. I mean, you got to get noticed. And, like, even if you mess up, it's better to mess up going hard than to mess up, you know, to not mess up and or mess up going weak or going soft.
True.
Like,
For sure.
It's a whole mental state. Like, I'm just thinking back to when I was trying to make the freaking football team in college, and like I cultivated a state of rage every day. Like, and I was so angry. My poor roommate got the brunt of it sometimes, but like I just would show up to practice like furious and just go off the ball at the D line and just try to destroy them. And like, so like, if you're trying to make the NFL, you got a livelihood on the line. Yeah. Like, oh my God, like that's a whole nother level. And so, you know, as long as he was doing it in fair play, it's hard to, you know, I think that's the differentiation here.
Yeah. So the Lions sorry, you had one more thing to add there?
No. Go ahead, Z.
Oh, no, the Lions, so they have waived Zylstra right now. They're assuming that nobody's going to pick him up, and then they can put him on the IR. I guess it's how they needed a clear roster spot, basically. So they brought in a couple other tight ends. We don't need to go over their names, but they're probably ones that won't make the roster most likely, just camp bodies. But right now, they have Derek East Jr. I believe torn ACL. Six.
Do we have the time frame for that?
Six months is what they're estimating. Maybe it's not a confirmed torn ACL. It's serious and significant knee injury is what they're. I thought I read ACL somewhere, but I'm in my notes. I have serious.
Yeah, I think it was a little more than just a straight ACL. I think he had a couple other issues along with it too. It was a serious one. Yeah.
So he probably won't be back for a long time.
Yeah. I wouldn't count on seeing him back, unfortunately, this season.
Yeah.
If we make a Super Bowl run, he might not be able to make it. What's the IR cutoff date nowadays? It's like halfway through the season, or
where
you can make it back still?
Week 10, I think.
Yeah, that seems pretty close.
I do have to go back and look that up again. But moving on to my next topic here that I wanted to go over is the ups and downs of Jameson Williams in this camp thus far. Have you guys been following the ups and downs of Jameson Williams? Kind of fun.
A lot of drops.
People have been really noting his drops a lot. He had a bad first day of camp, but he also, on that same day, threw a really nice block on Will Harris Haymaker. To free up our Gibbs on a long run in practice. You can see it on Detroit Lions Twitter / X feed, whatever they call it.
He threw a haymaker at Sterling.
Sorry? There was another one on Sterling,
too.
He
threw a nice haymaker.
I said he threw
a nice haymaker.
Oh,
at Sterling
haymaker.
As well.
Gotcha. Yes. A little chippiness. You got to like that. But this guy's always been a competitor. Mm-hmm. Like, he loves his favorite position isn't even wide receiver. It's the punt team and the punt returner. And the gunner on punt coverage is his favorite position on the field. This guy's a baller. He will get after it, and he also has a great role model in Amon-Ra St. Brown to follow. Because if you want a guy to teach you how to catch the ball, it's Amon-Ra St. Brown. did you guys see that he dropped one in practice today? And he
almost killed himself. They had to talk him out of it.
Yes, he was, I guess, visibly angry for multiple periods throughout the day, and then immediately, like he always does, it's 202. Jug balls?
202
balls he doesn't catch.
I'd be surprised if he's still at 202. Like,
no, he said he still does. He had an interview with Peter King, really nice interview they did at training camp, and he talked about that. Pretty interesting.
Amon-Ra St. Brown? I missed that.
202.
Yeah, it's good. Actually, they went into his background a little bit, which I found actually quite interesting.
Oh,
he grew up learning three languages at the same time.
Right.
So here's a kid... French, German, and English at the same time, you know, depending on who he's talking to. It's kind of fascinating. He's a really bright guy, and it's just he's so driven. It's just cool to see, you know.
Extremely.
Very driven. And, you know, of course, how he memorized the 16 guys in front of him that got picked.
Oh, yeah.
That's always fun. But, he's just a tremendous, like, unbelievable draft pick, man. I don't know how we lucked out with that.
It's
one.
It's incredible.
But we did. Yep.
It is.
But Jameson Williams, you guys still high on him? They're going to, I guess, get him a lot of preseason snaps as well here coming up because of that because of his suspension.
Yeah, personally, I'm actually higher on him than I was before. Like, I was starting to have trickle doubts into my brain, you know. But I think the more he gets out there and competes, the better he's going to be. So I think what the Lions have in mind right now, before he gets suspended, they're going to play him as much as possible, probably in the preseason, and get him a lot of reps, as many as they can, and just get him in the thick of things, you know. I think that's what he needs. I think once we see him after the suspension and he gets in the thick of the action, he's going to be awesome. So I think he kind of needs to be out there doing it, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. You know, personally, I'm like, these drop passes really have me worried. Like,
it's okay, Rod.
If he can't
okay.
catch the ball.
It's okay.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm not worried. It's like, you know, getting worried about camp is hardly the like, especially with a guy like him. Like, you know what he is. Are we expecting him to be Davante Adams and make a bunch of amazing contested catches or something? No, we're expecting this dude to torch people. Like, it's like, I mean, I don't think he didn't have like terrible drops in college. Like, I heard Jamar Chase had a bunch of drops in his rookie year, or like during this camp and stuff.
Right.
Like,
yep.
It happens. It's camp. Like, people have, you lose focus. It's you're it's not like the middle, you know. You think about it that way. Like, you're in a game, like, you're honing your whole week to peak performance at game day. Camp, you're wringing yourself out and you're pushing yourself and you're getting challenged constantly. So, like, you know, focus is like, you know, yeah, would I rather see him catch a bunch of balls? Honestly, the fact that he's out there going toe-to-toe and getting in fights with people makes me more excited than anything. He's got that dog in him. And, like, I wasn't worried like UJ to the extent, but, like, I'm happy to see it. Like, to see this is the kind – I don't think this guy is going to lose focus through 6 weeks of the season. I think he's going to be working with his trainer and getting ready to just set the league on fire week 7 when he comes back.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think Jameson Williams, we're going to see a lot of him in the preseason at least, so that's fun, because he's going to have a nice 6-week vacation to start the year. The Lions are just really kind in the NFL to give him a nice 6-week vacation before he starts the season. Unpaid, though. It's an unpaid vacation.
The more this has come out, I'm just more angry. Like, I know he has to take accountability, but that rule is so bad. Like, just so bad.
Yeah, and the, like, NFL even admits they didn't teach it well enough, too.
But it's so loose. Like, you're talking, like, you don't know, like, your hotel is now the team facility? Like, jeez. Like, that's so obscure. It's like they wanted to catch people for it or something.
Yeah, Iowa University is having a big issue. Iowa and Iowa State, a lot of their top athletes are in big trouble with gambling.
Oh, boy.
And the NCAA discourages gambling, right?
I guess so. I don't know.
But NFL definitely doesn't.
Yeah. No, they encourage the money that they get from ads.
They advertise with all the right. Like gambling books.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, we talked about that when it came out, but I agree. I mean, we definitely agree on that. So I want to bring up somebody else that we haven't really talked about too much because, well, he hasn't played yet and he didn't practice all off season. But a guy that we thought would be an important piece. He's supposed to be healthy by now. He's coming off a torn ACL, Emmanuel Mosley, who a lot of people liked a lot when healthy. The problem is, and the reason Lions got him for cheaper, is he is not healthy. And he was supposed to be ready for camp right now, and he just got put on the physically unable to play list. So it doesn't sound like he's coming out on the field anytime soon. Are you guys...
You better hurry up.
Are you guys disappointed by this? Were you expecting more out of him at this point? Are you concerned about our secondary without him?
Because
Jerry Jacobs is taking his snaps right now, I guess. Like,
yeah.
He was probably, like, my lowest, like, of the free agents we signed, like, the big names. Like, one of them, like, okay, like, I'm kind of excited. Just he added, like, a nice quality depth, maybe starter. But, like, honestly, the more I hear about all these boys, what these boys are doing in camp, like, between Sterling Thomas and – And Stephen Gilmore out here. These dudes are like tearing it up for undrafted rookies. I don't know, man. Emmanuel Mosley better get back quick because
they might not care to wait for him after a point if they got these young bucks coming. And I already like Jerry Jacobs a lot, and I think I like him as our number two across from Cam Sutton. So, I mean, if he adds to the team and he makes it, great. But, like, I'm not sitting here sweating one way or the other about him.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. I mean, I haven't seen him yet, so he's out of sight, out of mind as far as I'm concerned, you know, until he gets back and competes. Yeah, I was kind of excited they picked him up in free agency, but like I said, you can't worry about these guys that aren't out there. You got to worry about the guys that are out there, and that's what I'm into right now. Like you do, I agree. I like Jacobs a lot. I'd like to see him as a starter, to be honest with you.
It seems like if Mosley plays this year, he's going to be brought back very slowly and not at full force until midway through the season. The Lions, unlike some other teams out there, are very patient with some of these injuries.
Yes.
They draft a guy like Hendon Hooker, for instance, who's pretty much they literally said he's taking a redshirt year, which you don't always hear in the NFL because they want to get these guys out.
They're interested in sustainability, you know, and they care about their players. Like,
sustainability, a very good corporate word.
It's not a good thing when you start pushing players back too early, but I think they know how to ride the right balance. They know who is worth taking the risk on, you know, and putting some time into. Like Jameson, obviously worth the draft pick because we were able to rehab him without being in desperate need of his services.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, same thing with Hendon Hooker. We don't really, you know, hope, God forbid, we need any other quarterback this year, you know.
Here's the other thing, too.
JG to the Super Bowl.
Campbell trusts his guys. So, like, if a guy goes down, the next guy up, he trusts that guy. And look what that trust has brought out some great talent the last couple of years. You know, they throw what's his name? Our safety.
Which safety?
Kirby?
Tracy Walker?
Kirby Joseph. Oh, Kirby. I'm sorry. Yeah, they throw him out there because of injuries, and the kid just responds. I mean, true. You know, if you made that team, you made the team for a reason. And if you have to go in, they're expecting you to perform like anybody else. And he has that kind of trust in his players, and I think it comes out, you know, with these guys. And I think those guys feed off that trust, too. They're not going there, oh, God, I'm not as good as this guy. I don't want to make a mistake. No, these guys go out there and play their asses off just because they feel trusted. And Campbell trusts their guys. So, yeah, no, I don't worry about it.
Apparently Jacobs has not looked great so far in camp, so that's a little concerning. And Cam Sutton, he's looked pretty good, but more so, just one note that I read is that Jameson Williams has absolutely torched him like by 5 yards on a go route in the practice the other day.
That's a lot of people.
Going back to the Jameson Williams thing for a moment.
The whole league's going to get that treatment soon enough. So.
Yeah, I think a lot of guys are going to get torched by him.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I just want to kind of get to, like, a highlight for me of everything I've been reading about camp and observing is the fact that, like, I think it was the Woodward guys were talking. They went to the camp and
the who guys?
Everything that caught their attention was rookies. Like, it was Jack Campbell. It was Sam LaPorta. It was Jahmyr Gibbs. It was Broderick Martin beating Frank Ragnow one-on-one in a dominant fashion. Like all these rookies we drafted this year, and then is Sterling Thomas and Stephen Gilmore. Like, they're adding some serious young talent, like the scouting department this year. Like, I don't think – have we talked about the draft coverage? Did we talk about that the last pod? I can't remember because we have to talk about that a little bit.
Draft coverage?
Like the draft Inside the Den episode.
Like, oh.
Oh, the episode.
That episode painted a picture that these guys scouted so well and basically mapped out this entire freaking draft for all the guys they wanted and basically got them. like guys they really were really, really excited about, like Broderick Martin in, what was it, the fourth round, and they were on pins and needles hoping to God he would be there. And then they traded up to get him, I think, right? Like, they like really were passionate. This wasn't lip service after this draft, and now you're seeing it already translate into camp. These players, like Campbell's making plays. Oh, Brian Branch is making plays. They're all stepping up and like shining already. It's pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah,
to hear this kind of
stuff.
That
is a good thing if you get a chance to see it, man. It's worth it. It's a good watch.
Yeah,
hour and a half. Excellent.
Yeah, it's kind of like Hard Knocks in a way, like the behind the scenes stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
I didn't think I could get more psyched about this draft class. I didn't think it was humanly possible. And then I watched it, and I was just
It's cool they show their combine interviews and stuff. I think that's floating. Really interesting, because normally you don't hear
that was good.
And see that stuff.
Awesome.
So it's really cool that they're the Lions media department has done a pretty good job the last couple of years, I would say. One of the better ones.
Oh, they're
there.
On point. I think they're cutting edge. I think they're leading the way right now. Like, show me a better media program.
Yeah.
I bet it doesn't exist. Like, I'm serious. Like, this whole organization with Sheila Ford, Hamp Ford, or whatever, however she goes now, like, she has done such a ridiculously good job at building this organization from the top down, hiring Brad, hiring Dan, and like, it's just, you can see it. She's built this organization so thoroughly that even the media and like is trying to, you know, push the limits and become the best at what they do. This whole organization is pushing in the same direction towards greatness, and that is just that can't be overestimated. Like, it's incredibly powerful when everyone's.
I think
from every end to end.
I know we won't hear it either, but I think Chris Spielman has a lot to do with that too, as well.
I agree.
He was our first hire, actually. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's definitely worth that mention.
And we do drink the Kool-Aid here, folks. Just so you know, I don't think I had to point that out to you, but just a little disclaimer.
And Rudog, you mentioned the one guy in the fourth round draft pick, third round draft pick that we traded up for, Broderick Martin, deep tackle, and he has been making waves in camp. He's been making a lot of tackles in the backfield on the run, and that's where we're expecting him to excel, is in his run defense. Now he's gotten beat up a few times. They have him repping with the ones a lot though here to start, which is great to see.
Yeah.
But he's making plays on an all-pro like Frank Ragnow every once in a while, and you know, he's just a young, man, and he's only going to grow from here. I think that's really exciting, especially this is like, you know, a top five offensive line. This is not like some, you know, 2020 Detroit Lions offensive line, or what was our worst 2009, or I don't know what. It's not a bottom tier NFL offensive line. This has got two all-pros. Two more Pro Bowlers, so
top five, easy.
Yeah.
Maybe top two, honestly, with the Eagles. Maybe
More of the question is how many D tackles do Lions keep? And I was listening to one.
It's a real
reporter,
good question.
I think it was Colton Pouncey on The Athletic. It's like, who's the fourth guy to keep? Is it the guy they invested in Benito Jones, or is it the guy that they've invested time in? And Levi and Muzurike. He thought there's not enough room on this roster for both.
Well, Levi has to show a lot more through the rest of camp still, so it's going to be tough.
The reporters thought Benito Jones because he's also shown more in camps thus far, and he has more money invested.
To me, he's also the only other guy that has what you can't teach in that size. Like, him and Broderick would be like your true nose tackles, whereas like, then you could free up Bugs and Aleem to play more penetrating roles.
Have either of you seen any positive notes coming out about Levi in this camp?
I have just the fact that
he's practicing and
his back
I still think they're going slow with him. You know
they are.
But, I mean, they got to find out what he's made of at some point here.
Oh yeah, they will.
I think he has splashed a little bit. I think I heard like maybe like showed up, but like I don't know. I'm not expecting too much, because like here's what I just heard is basically they see him still as a developing player, because he also with that injury came, you know, the inability to train properly over those years and stuff. So like I think he might be one of those premier candidates for the practice squad unless he really puts it together in the next couple of weeks. Which, you know, very well could happen. But I think they're still planning on investing in him, just not necessarily with a roster spot to start. But you got that Daniel Covington, you know, he's a vet. I think, can we establish, obviously the top three are Bugs and Broderick, right?
Correct.
I mean, that's just become crystal clear already to me.
I would agree with that, yeah.
Like, what Broderick's doing now just proves he's making this roster and going to be in the rotation.
Well, supposedly Covington has not been exactly shining out there. So no. His stock has been dropping a bit.
Yeah, I haven't heard much about him.
I've heard a couple of different reporters say that. I mean, not like severely, but he's just not showing like some of the other guys are, and they expected more. You know,
has anyone heard of like the undrafted D tackles or anything? Like, didn't we pick up a kid from Notre Dame? And
yeah,
but I haven't heard anything either. So.
No, not much really.
But yeah, that'll be interesting. I mean, Anzarike, he would be the cherry on top if we get him back, man.
Well, for all the Trinity Benson fans out there, he got carted off the field today in practice. Us on Wednesday,
ooh,
August 2nd. I mean, he's probably not going to make the roster, but
that
does not help the cause.
That was Brad's guy, man. Brad liked that guy a lot, you know. And, you know, got him
clearly
from Denver
saw something
a couple of years ago. Really thought he was a something. And
I
haven't seen him do anything since he's been here, but I hate to see anybody get hurt on the other end. So that's a shame. I hope he's okay.
Focusing on the offensive line, interestingly, Big V was in there with the starters today. Now, they like to shuffle these guys around, so who knows. But, you know, he was back in practice today, and he was starting over Glasgow at the moment. But Glasgow also took Ragnow's spot at center at some point. So, you know, I don't know.
Right.
But it's good to see Big B out there. At least you're having the competition.
Are always so puzzling.
It's better to have him out there practicing than, you know, with a back injury on the sideline. So,
heck yeah.
But I don't know if you guys took anything from that. There was an interesting move. Obina Easy, the guy from Hard Knocks last year that we kind of got to know. The Lions kept him on the practice squad. He got a lot of reps at the second team today, and he's been working a lot with Penei Sewell on the sideline after practice, before practice. So that's an interesting name at the end of this roster to look out
back
for.
Backup tackle, man.
I thought he looked terrible last year.
yeah, but he had like all the tools. He needed a ton of polish, like a shit ton.
Oh yeah,
he was a project. He was a project.
But
in the beginning.
That's the thing, you know. If he's showing that this year, who knows? It could come together fast.
Yeah,
and you know, I'd like to have a young buck like that to back up our tackles. You know, if he's looking good.
Definitely. I mean, and it's the same in all sports. If you have the traits, because we recently watched my brother get drafted in the MLB, and he went in the ninth round to the Giants. Charlie Zaccone, go check him out. But anyways, you see these guys getting drafted before him with like 9.0 ERAs and earned run average, and it's just like, how did this guy get drafted with these terrible stats? But it doesn't matter, because some of them are like 6'6", that can throw a 92-mile-per-hour fastball at the age of 18, and that's all the MLB's like, you know, we'll bring you in. We will train you up. We will coach you the right way to get to really realize your full potential, which would be somewhere in the elite stats, probably. So it's just interesting. You know, it doesn't matter the sport. If you have the traits, they are willing to take a longer, more high risk chance on you.
There's always some little guy out there who was super productive at the lower level that just had he's too small.
Absolutely.
Always.
Definitely. This is something interesting today, too, that I read. Guess which is the most expensive offense in the NFL this season?
The most expensive offense?
Yes, that means the most money paid to players that play on the offensive side of the football. They have $152 million.
The Oakland Raiders.
They are fourth.
Oh, no, I'm going to go with
fourth.
The Dolphins.
Oh, wow.
Maybe the Dolphins.
The Dolphins, they are not in the top
Tyreek
five.
Tyreek Hill's got to be expensive.
They're not in the top five.
They're not?
Nope.
Wow, they're explosive, though.
Hmm.
Well, who is the highest paid? So I'll give you the answer.
Is it the Lions?
It is not, but they're third, actually. They have the third most expensive offense.
Expensive
is the Cleveland Browns with Deshaun Watson their offensive line. They pay a lot of money and Amari Cooper and such. Second is Kansas City. And then it's Detroit. $152 million from Cleveland, $138 for KC, $136 million Detroit spends on their offense. I just thought that was
third.
That Warren Sharp threw out today on X.
Well, I mean, you get to what you pay for, clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are some stacked O's.
Definitely. I just thought that was an interesting stat. But we mentioned Amon Ra and his drop today made – you know, everybody drops the ball once in a while in these camps. But Amon Ra drops it. It's newsworthy. Because some guys drop it here and there. The fourth – wide receiver. Did we mention that Tom Kennedy got released on the last episode? I don't remember.
Yes, we did. Yeah.
Okay. So.
Oh, we did.
You know.
And then they signed him back again on the IR.
Because he's injured.
Joseph's going to get the same treatment.
But it's going to be even tougher than ever for him to make this roster this year because
so deep.
They have quite the battle brewing for that fourth wide receiver spot. Because of, you got Denzel Mims, who they traded for, Trinity Benson, who we mentioned already, who was previously traded for, Antoine Green, and there was one more guy that is making an undrafted free agent.
The undrafted rookie.
Undrafted rookie free agent named Dylan Drummond, who I guess has been very noticeable in practice. With a reserve unit, he's usually the main guy getting the ball. So look out for that name, Dylan Drummond.
Chase Kota.
Have you heard too much about him?
I haven't heard a whole lot of good.
I've heard nothing
about him, to be honest.
I have a feeling he's going to struggle a little bit because he's so big and not necessarily really fast. Mm-hmm. Like guys like that can get covered like glue sometimes.
Definitely. One of these guys will make the practice squad, if not two, because – I mean, God only knows you need that depth in case of injury. All these guys get injured, you know. It's all about depth in the NFL these days.
Absolutely.
TK is going to be like our perennial practice squad vet, I think, that we keep around. I think he's going to be the guy we keep paying money to, like give him veteran contracts and stuff, just because we love him so much.
Hey, he was having a good camp, too, by the way. I just throwing
like
out there.
Dan Campbell was chasing, like, TK after he just robbed a bank like through like a neighborhood and like he like got hurt his leg and couldn't chase him anymore and had him at gunpoint, he would just shoot it in the air because he couldn't shoot him because he loved him so much.
All right.
Oh my god,
come on,
it's a Point Break.
It was a double reference.
I know, Hot Fuzz and Point Break.
Come on, give it to me. Come on, that was pretty good.
I love it. I'm sure there's a fan out there who recognized that, too.
I like it.
Someone's got it.
I like it.
Share the comments. who's seen it? Who knows?
I mean, just before we even get in this other topic I want to talk about, just the overall vibes you're getting out of training camp. Is this a team that's ready to win a Super Bowl based on the vibe that you're getting out of this training camp? Did you guys catch Dan Gamble's interview with on Pardon My Take, the Pardon My Take podcast?
Oh, yes, I wanted to talk about
interview.
That.
Fantastic.
Great interview.
My favorite part was, we love Jared Goff. Oh, I love Jared Goff. We love Jared Goff. Like,
a lot of people took away, he asked Sheila Ford Hamp if they can have a line on the sideline. She said, sure. The NFL and Roger Goodell said no. Because it was floated last year too. I think they asked him the same question
on the
same podcast.
Oh, that'd be so cool.
And that podcast and the Barstool crowd love Dan Campbell. Like, he's a perfect guest for that podcast, and they do a good job.
Yeah, it was the beginning of like their grit week, or something,
right.
Which is apparently something they've done before, which is kind of funny.
The Lions or Barstool?
No, that's like, I guess that's what they call it every
year. Yeah, every year at Barstool, I think they have the Grit Week or whatever.
Perfect fit.
Yeah, exactly. But if you haven't had a chance to listen to that, I would highly recommend to go check that out. To Pardon My Take, I think it was earlier this week. Monday it was released, July 31st. Did you guys have any other notes from training camp that you want to go over? That was basically everything I want to talk about right now.
Hutch is tearing it up.
Oh, yeah, that's a given.
Leem's looking good.
Well, the way Sewell was praising Hutch, though, he says he's noticeably stronger this year, right? He's just going to be unbelievable this year.
Oh, he's going to be such a
big... I just like it. It seems like a very good camp, and I think Campbell's keeping their heads on straight with all the hype going on around this team. And none of the players seem to be, at least outwardly, seem to be buying into the hype, which I'm happy to see. So
definitely.
They just got to keep it up. And I think they all realize they haven't won anything yet. You know, even last year, they didn't even make the playoffs. You know, so what do they have to be hyped up about? They haven't done anything yet. And right. I think they all have that attitude. And it's going to serve them well, I think. So I do like that part. They don't seem to be getting too cocky.
Hey, has anyone else been confused when they look at our roster and think for a second, hey, we signed Stephon Gilmore? Like, what's going on? How did he get on our team? Like that? Anyone have that issue?
Well, different guy.
That's his brother, is Stephon Gilmore, the one we have on our team. They're related.
Yeah, so Stephon Gilmore there. Is the one you're thinking of, the good one.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's the older brother. This is his little brother, though, that's on our team. For anyone who didn't know that, okay. Z, maybe you weren't confused, because I thought for a second we signed Stephon Gilmore, okay? When I saw his name the first time.
All right.
But what about you, Z? What
well,
you
I think we would have known if Stephon Gilmore was picked up by this team.
I don't mean the Stephon Gilmore. Just about the camp overall right now. You haven't really said
what
much
about it.
What's your feeling?
My feeling on this camp?
What do you think? Yeah.
I mean, this is the same vibes as last year. The Lions and, you know, with their leadership has been remarkably consistent since they've taken over. So the energy and the camaraderie on the team is flowing yet again. I hope that it... The Lions have got, you know, gotten off a couple slow starts to the season the last couple of years. So I think that having this opening game is going to add some extra juice to the practices as well. I think it's done that already. And I love the physicality that we're seeing out of practice too, especially with some of the videos we've seen. Yeah. And the guy we haven't mentioned, if you go watch his videos, you can see the difference that he makes, and especially as a receiver, Jahmyr Gibbs. Go on the Lions Twitter feed. They have a lot of videos from the practices, and Jahmyr Gibbs looks like an absolute nightmare to defend.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he looks like he's floating when he runs. He looks like he's floating. He's so fast. I am
so sick.
So excited to see him play.
Can I?
Yeah.
I just want to say I agree for the most part, Z, about the vibe and this to the, like I think there's the same kind of good like consistent steadiness of it all, but like there's a confidence this year to it that I think there wasn't there last year. Like not only like it sounds like this camp sounds like a real battle. Like it sounds like there's good players on both sides of the ball making good plays all over the place. And, like, this really does sound like a camp of iron sharpening iron. Like, that's why I just don't see us coming out and laying an egg early, because I think we're so much further ahead as a roster, as a team, as a culture. We're like, I feel the evolution. It's not a huge difference, but I feel like it's a noticeable one. And like, what's so cool is just how this rookie class is already contributing to it, because, like, Jack Campbell sounds like he's already going to make that linebacker core like so much better. Like all these guys, our running back room is going to be so much better because of Gibbs. Laporta is making our tight end room look great. Like it's just freaking amazing what they've done this draft. So like, yeah. And then you got one of the biggest new ingredients, which I think, you know, you go away from the goofy endearingness of Jamal Williams and you go to the cocky like badassery of CJGJ. And, like, this whole team just has a little bit more of an edge this year.
Badassery.
Absolutely.
That's a word I haven't heard in a while.
And, yeah, and CJGJ, he has looked great in camp. He has played very physical.
He's looked fantastic.
The correct
lit up
way
gibbies.
To play physical, not the Khalil Dorsey way of physical. Still
he
not
gave
happy with that
Gibbs
guy.
His welcome to the NFL moment, I heard.
Yeah.
Lit him up on a route after he caught the ball.
Love it.
There's been some good videos of him in practice, too, breaking a pass.
Absolutely.
Stuff.
Man, really it makes me wish they had him more than a year. Maybe he'll come back. But, you know, we'll
they
take
might.
What we can get.
They might.
We'll take what
we
can
get.
It'll be interesting. But, you know, Branch makes that maybe not super necessary.
Yeah. A couple of the really small notes unrelated to the Lions, but the NFL. First of all, can you guess which quarterback right now is the most bet on quarterback to win MVP this year in the NFL?
Jared Goff.
No.
I knew it wasn't Jared Goff because he said not Lions related. So
you get one guess, Red Dog. You get one guess.
That was a clue.
To win MVP. Either Mahomes or Rodgers, but I'm going to go with Rodgers just because Mahomes is too
You're
obvious.
You're also wrong. It's Justin Fields.
Damn.
Justin Fields is the most
Justin
bad
Fields.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
There is a lot of hype around him, and I can't wait for him to look terrible this year.
I mean, I love that you're so sure, but like honestly, I think they have the best chance to be our most closest rival this year, even more than the Vikings.
I don't think he can throw still.
His running alone though makes them dangerous to play against. Yeah. I think we can handle it, but like if he actually does prove to be a bit of a passer on the run this year, like that team could become suddenly dangerous. Like if he can do what Jalen Hurts did. I mean, he doesn't have the O-line Hurts does, but he does have a much better receiving core now, theoretically.
Well, I just want to mention
even
that.
With all that anyway, potential, yeah. It's hard to believe he's that.
I like to trash on the Bears, fine, but like in this case, I'm just not. I have a feeling that like they're going to be dangerous this year. Maybe not good enough to put together a consistent season, but dangerous.
Yeah. At the same time, Dan Campbell's the favorite to be coach of the year in the NFL, and the Lions are one of the more and the Lions are the most heavily bet on Super Bowl team this year. So. Interesting notes from Vegas, where I don't live, but read about the going ons there.
Well, I got my bet on.
Yes, you're part of the crowd, EJ. You're
20-1.
You're one of the bandwagoners.
I bet.
Oh, what?
$1,000.
Wash your mouth with soap. You call UJ a bandwagoner?
I can.
Do you call the sun dark? What the hell? That doesn't make any sense.
All right. There was one other, you know, one other fun thing that comes out every year. It's called the quarterback tiers. I mentioned at the top of the podcast we'd be talking about this. Are you guys familiar with the quarterback tiers? Before I mentioned
a little
this?
Bit, a little bit.
How do they rank them?
So Mike Sando is the guy that runs it. He was formerly at ESPN. Now he's at the Athletic, and he does these anonymous surveys. He keeps it anonymous, rather, but he talks to a lot of top executives in the NFL. He talks to 50 of them, of the top executives, so like assistant GMs and above, pretty much. And he asks them to rank the quarterbacks in tiers 1, 2, 3, and 4. Just vote, is this guy a tier 1, which is obviously the highest, tier 2. Tier 3 quarterback is a legitimate starter, but needs a heavier running game and or defensive component to win. So basically, they can... A tier 3 quarterback is a good quarterback in the right system. But if it's a guy like Patrick Mahomes, you could throw him anywhere and he's going to be successful. That's why he's tier 1. Anyways, I thought it was interesting. Jared Goff, he fell in. Well, I guess, tell me where do you think he ranked out of 30 quarterbacks in the NFL? You got to take a guess.
Stupidly.
I'd say. I'm going to say top 10, like 8, 9, something like
okay,
that.
Okay, Red Dog.
See, that'd be reasonable, UJ.
Red Dog, do you know the answer?
I know roughly. It's like 16.
Okay, he was like a tier 3 quarterback, and he was 15th overall. He had 17 tier 2 votes, 33 tier 3. Hmm. And do you know Jared Goff's contract annually, the average amount he makes per year? Do you know where that ranks amongst NFL quarterbacks? The highest is Justin Herbert, now at 52.5.
About where he's at, probably.
Yes. Jared Goff also has the 15th highest contract in the NFL. So I thought that was interesting. I thought that was interesting how those two things aligned in this regard.
Interesting.
The top executives think Jared Goff's the 15th best quarterback. When Jared Goff is – the reason I wanted to bring that part up is that when it comes time for Jared Goff, he has 2 years left of his contract. The way things are progressing, the Lions are going to need to renew his contract, extend his contract.
Yeah.
And how much does he get paid?
I
think that's a really interesting conversation going
forward. Hold on, Z.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before we go into that topic, tell me who ranked in front of him.
Oh, sorry. Yes, I was going to mention that too. Derek Carr at 14. Kyler Murray top tier 3 quarterback.
Talk about discrediting.
I'll just keep going up. 12 is Kirk Cousins. 11 is Deshaun Watson. 10 is Stafford. who barely played last year. Dak Prescott at 9, Trevor Lawrence at 8, Lamar Jackson at 7, Jalen Hurts at 6. Those are all tier 2 guys I just mentioned. Then there's 5 tier 1 guys. Herbert at 5, Rodgers at 4, Allen at 3, Burrow at 2, and Mahomes at 1.
The list didn't even start making sense until you mentioned Stafford.
And Jared Goff is right ahead of Russell Wilson at 16, Tua at 17, Jimmy Garoppolo at 18, Daniel Jones at 19, Geno Smith at 20, Justin Fields, the aforementioned, at 21.
He belongs right next to Stafford at least. Like, all those guys in between him and Stafford just show how bad this list is.
Well, here's
that is a terrible list.
It's not.
Kyler Murray, what has he done in this league to deserve anything? He has done been a flashy waste of space. Like, I mean, come on.
Playoff game.
Like, yeah, whatever. Like, and then been a pain in the ass for his organization most of his career. I mean, come on. That guy is not that good.
I mean, he got a 200.
Jared Goff's only proven he can be successful in multiple systems.
I mean, the Cardinals clearly thought enough of Kyler Murray to give him the 6th largest contract in the sport.
I think they're. You know, actually, this is a perfect example. It just shows that most of the NFL execs suck at getting good quarterbacks. So, you know, just ask Dan Campbell. You know, would he give up Jared Goff for any of those guys in between, like Jared Goff and Justin Herbert?
I mean, here's the thing with Goff, though.
And I include Stafford in that. I don't think we'd give him up for Stafford at this point.
Here's the thing with Goff, though. It's not out of the realm of craziness to say if he's not in the right situation, he might not be too good, because we've seen it.
That's like every freaking quarterback.
It's not like every quarterback, though.
There's only, like you said, maybe there's a few that, because they can run a little bit, they can create, so they don't necessarily need perfect protection. But like any quarterback that has to pass and requires an O-line to block is after that tier. And Jared Goff's one of the best at it. Like, one of the best at it. Statistically, this is fact. So these guys are high on whatever their supply is, and I don't buy it.
He's what? One of the best at what?
At not being an elite mover. Like, he's outside of, like, guys who can scramble a little bit more than the average quarterback and create, like, that top list, he's one of the best pure pocket passers in the NFL, period.
Well, Red Dog, just to be fair in this argument here, if you locked yourself in a room and didn't have any Kool-Aid for a week, and you let it just get out of your system a little bit, and you thought logically, actually, Big Z's argument does make sense, okay?
No, it doesn't.
It does. So
we've seen both sides of Jared Goff. Oh, my God. With Anthony.
The people in front of Jared Goff.
It's not just the players around him, too. It's got
and the
right
categories
coach,
are
Anthony Lynn.
Where does Kirk Cousins get – like, he's better than Kirk Cousins. He's better than Dak Prescott. Like, this is statistically borne out.
Do you
this
think if Kirk
bullshit.
Cousins –
the list is garbage.
Kirk Cousins – could do
trash.
What Jared Goff's doing in this offense? I think he could.
No, not as good. I mean, he'd be successful because it's a really good offense. But no, I think Jared Goff is a better pure passer. Kirk Cousins is okay. Like, he's a decent passer, but Jared Goff's just simply better. There's a reason he was drafted 1 overall, and just because Sean McVay did a great job on his career and his reputation in their parting by trying to make it sound like their offense only struggled because of Goff and not because McVay was an egotist and a micromanager and failed to work well with his quarterback. So no, I don't buy it. He's shown he can be successful in multiple schemes, multiple systems with different offensive coordinators. Sure, every quarterback does better in a better situation, that's like obvious, but like Jared Goff has done it at a high level, like, repeatedly. So no, like, I think this list is bullshit.
I don't think you should be behind Derek Carr. Kyler Murray
or Dak Prescott
is debatable.
No, I don't even think that's debatable.
No, it's not.
It is to me.
Mighty Mouse is not better than Jared Goff.
Deshaun Watson is horrible last year. He should not
he
be.
He just rides the laurels of what he used to
be.
Yes,
which I don't agree with on this list. But anyways, I wanted to bring it up again because
it's a bad list.
Jared Goff's due a contract extension. Most of the time when these guys get a new extension, they want to be the highest paid guy, which would be in this case, a $20 million more a year than he's making right now, which it kind of sucks for roster building side of things.
It affects things.
Do you think Jared Goff is worth more than the Herbert, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts of the world?
No.
Road dog?
I think the top five was legit top five. I think it was well picked.
Well, that was top five in these rankings. The actual contracts in the NFL, Herbert is number one now.
Oh, as far as contracts,
Jackson is two.
Right.
Jalen Hurts is three. Russell Wilson is fourth.
I think
continues to look like an absolute horrific trade, which is hilarious. And then Kyler Murray is fifth, and then Deshaun Watson sixth.
I think Jared Goff could potentially have a better, longer career than the likes of Justin Herbert. I think he could have a better, longer career than potentially, what's his name on the Eagles?
Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, like, I think he could. Like, well, Aaron Rodgers will be gone
soon
anyway.
He could, but
anyway.
He also could not.
Like,
anything's possible.
I think he'll be better than Aaron Rodgers going forward, but, you know, maybe not peak Aaron Rodgers. But honestly, Jared Goff, to me, is in the top 10, right outside the tier of elite quarterbacks, of the elite, because he is limited physically what some of these guys can do. He can't do what Mahomes does. That being said, he's developing an intense relationship with Ben Johnson. He's getting so deep into the X's and O's. He's learning the game at a higher level than ever. And you've seen great quarterbacks with somewhat limited capability. Like, was Peyton Manning bad because he doesn't have the big arm? Like, Jared Goff is not Peyton Manning either, but, like, he's his own thing. He has a good arm. He has a really good arm. All the scouts say, guy who can make all the NFL throws. Like, this idea that he has a weak arm is stupid. And he actually delivers the ball well at all parts of the field, including deep, better than most quarterbacks in the NFL. He is a legit top-notch NFL quarterback, just not maybe as high as the top.
But let me get this straight. So, you like Jared Goff or don't like Jared Goff?
I love Jared Goff.
He likes
I kind of got that feeling.
I just think people sleeping on Jared Goff are foolish. That's all.
All right. It's interesting. It's an interesting conversation that I'm sure the Lions are going to have this offseason.
Z, let me just finish to the contract, though. You got to consider Hendon Hooker and his development and where we're at when we come to contract talks. Like, if Hendon Hooker gets all camp off season next year and is looking really good come time to negotiate Jared's contract, like, you know, I mean, I love Jared, but you also have to think of the Lions first. Like, you have to put the team first, and so you have to see how things go. I like the idea of Jared getting an extension and then letting Hooker somehow develop behind him. The only problem I have there is the logistics of the time frame. I don't know how. Like,
I think Goff would have to play horrendously bad this year for that to be a realistic possibility.
I just think, extend Goff, man, and I wouldn't mind paying him close to the top. Maybe not the top.
They're going to extend
paying a lot of money.
They're going to. I just don't know where they land.
If they do, they'll get the contract to work right for the team.
Yeah, it'll probably be one of those like backloaded deals, like they do with a lot of these guys, cheaper in the first couple of years. Keep going. You know, the other from inside the den, I thought it was interesting how Mike Disner was sitting right next to Brad Holmes, like telling him, that's a good trade value. That's good trade value. He like had his on his computer.
Oh, yeah.
He had his formula. Cool. I thought that was really cool to see as well. I just wanted to mention that. The last thing I want to add is I found fascinating. This is the other non-Lions thing. Did you guys see the Sean Payton comments about Nathaniel Hackett, the Jets offensive coordinator, former head coach of the Broncos? Mm-mm. Basically, Sean Payton was shitting all over Nathaniel Hackett about how bad of a job he was as a coach. He couldn't believe how bad the organization was run. I just thought it was interesting because you never hear this stuff between two coaches in the NFL. They have kind of like their own brotherhood there. So to hear these two coaches feuding, I found fascinating. That's all. It was more of a comment than really
fascinating
anything. But just like, I mean, actually just shitting on everything they did, like saying it was the worst job in NFL history. A lot of good stuff, a lot of good quotes. If you haven't seen it, go type in Sean Payton, Nathaniel Hackett, and get some good quotes.
I have one more comment, Z, about this, about inside the den and this draft and just watching Jack Campbell and these guys. What's that?
No, I said go ahead with your comment, and then we'll wrap it up.
Okay. Anyway, so have you ever noticed, like, the top teams in the NFL are all, like, you just look at them and you're like, holy crap, these guys have the guys. Like, you just see it. It's, like, obvious. You see the prototypes. You see the Bosas. You see the Aaron Donalds.
the Lions are going to be that team. The people are going to look to the Lions, and they're going to see Hutch, and they're going to see Jack Campbell. And I think he's going to set the new prototype for the NFL linebacker. He's like Urlacher 2.0. This dude is going to be so good. This team is going to set the standard for the NFL, and people are going to model their drafts after the dudes the Lions have picked. Watch fast linebackers or running backs go early. Watch big linebackers go early in the next few years after people want to try to do the same thing we did. The Lions are the cream of the crop right now.
All right. Well, there you have it, folks. There you have it. Cream of the crop. Super Bowl champions this year. So before we wrap up the podcast, I want to thank our producer, Kid J.
Kid J.
Kid J.
Kid J. We're doing a dynamite job producing the podcast. Always greatly appreciate you, good, Kid J, with your Led Zeppelin shirt on today in the background. Justin's getting ready for Lollapalooza this weekend.
Be careful.
Yep. You have a bad experience or something?
Well, it's always a kind of dangerous environment.
All right. Well, we can talk about that off air. anyways, sidelinereport.com. Thank you for hosting this podcast. Really appreciate that. Go check them out. Twitter at Drinking Lions. Sorry, X, whatever they want to call it these days. Twitter/X.com. Go check it out at Drinking Lions. I don't know if anybody's gonna follow us on there because they don't know what the name of the site is. It's just one letter. If you have 26 guesses on your keyboard, it's X. So that's the answer. And then Instagram at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. Follow us on there. We'd love to get your thoughts on the Lions training camp so far. Are you buying in to everything that you are reading about this team? All the positive hype. And how we're going to go 17-0 and make an undefeated run all the way through the playoffs, all the way to the Super Bowl. As Rud Dog, I already know we'll predict in our preseason prediction podcast.
You don't know me. You don't know me, Z.
And not only that, win the average game by 30 points. On average. Maybe you'll throw in one 10-point win.
Show me the lies. Show me the lies.
All right, so I think that's going to wrap it up. And we especially want to thank our listeners for listening to this podcast.
You.
If you're still listening to this point
too.
Of the podcast, then we really appreciate you because we don't know why you've stuck around this long. But
you might want to go see a shrink.
Yeah,
I don't
we
know.
We really appreciate you guys.
Just
We should we have a shrink on again to this podcast? We had one on.
We did.
It was your.
It was Jill's
sister-in-law, right? Your aunt.
My sister-in-law,
yeah.
Jill.
My
A licensed psychologist, right?
I think we need to get her on again before the season starts. Maybe about the Lions fan psychologist.
She gave us a lot of hope. She talked about her like lifelong depression. We haven't had her on in years. She was one of our first guests, actually, on this podcast. Yeah. It was such an important topic to talk about. Why do we stick with this team? So go check that out. Go scroll all the way back. Back to when we had a lot worse audio, but it's still good content. But anyways.
Here's the problem, though. If we talk to a shrink, like, and we talk Lions, shouldn't we charge the shrink since it's like we do a podcast, like they're getting entertained about the Lions? Mm. Doesn't that?
What?
You know?
I don't understand what you're saying, honestly.
Sometimes humor doesn't work, okay? This is one of those times.
Only when you don't get
it. I'm so confused. I'm so flustered. I need a psychiatrist now. Just to understand.
Comedy is not pretty.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. We greatly appreciate you. We'll be back next week talking more about training camp and this offseason. So thank you, everybody, for listening. And last but not least, as always, go!
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 Lions!
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go!
Go.
Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.